Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Good Thursday morning. Welcome to First Things First. How should Joel Embiid feel after the Sixers' epic collapse? Also coming up, does KD have another historic performance in him tonight to send the Bucks packing? And finally, the Joker is back home in Serbia, and he's riding his horse chariot. Good Thursday morning. Welcome to the show. Kevin Wilds alongside Brandon Marshall and Nick Wright. Nicholas, has this latest video changed your mind about the Joker's MVP?
It hasn't. It has made me wish even more that the Blazers could have played better in that series, because I would have loved Adam Silver to present the MVP trophy on this field. Joker rides up in his horse, gets his trophy, rides away.
Oh, we're going to start this morning in Salt Lake City, Clippers Jazz Game 5. No Kawhi for the Clippers with that knee injury. More on that later. Paul George rose to the occasion, one of his best postseason games ever. Performance of his career, 37 points, 16 rebounds. LA wins their third straight game in the series. They take a 3-2 advantage back home to the Staples Center. Here was George after the win.
This is the biggest game of our season, especially being down our best player. We wish Kawhi the best in a speedy recovery, but we knew coming into this, we had to play together. We had to step up.
I have a lot of respect for PG. Like, you can't judge a guy's career or what he's doing for one series or for God. Like, I mean, I know a lot of great players that have bad series or a bad game or a bad two games in a series. But, you know, whenever he has a bad game, they want to make a big deal of it. So, I mean, it's whatever. You know, just keep playing, keep being who you are. And at the end of the day, you know, you can live with the results.
Only two guys this postseason have gone for at least 35, 15, and 5. KD on Tuesday.
Wow.
Paul George last night. Both big-time performances. So, Nick, how surprised were you by Paul George's performance?
Well, I think under normal circumstances, I would have been incredibly surprised. Under the circumstances of yesterday in the NBA, it barely resonated. From tip-off of the Nets-Bucks game until the end of that game, you had about a 28-hour stretch in the basketball ecosystem where the following happened. The Bucks blew a 17-point second-half lead, and Kevin Durant had one of the greatest games anyone has ever had. Then Chris Paul gets ruled out with COVID protocols. Then Kawhi Leonard gets ruled out with a knee injury. Then the Pelicans fire their coach. Then the Wizards fire their coach. Then the Mavs fire their front office, it would seem. The NBA gives out a Rookie of the Year award. The Sixers blow a 25-point lead late in the second half. And then a team that never loses at home, the Jazz, lose at home to a team that doesn't have its best player. So I don't even really know exactly what's happening. I don't know how I can predict anything moving forward, considering I wouldn't have predicted anything that happened yesterday. I will leave the predictions on this to Brandon, because he did see the possibility of the Paul George performance. So while Brandon will talk on Paul George, I want to say one thing on Ty Lue. Because I'm hard on coaches. Crushed Bud yesterday, and about 21 minutes from now, Doc Rivers has it coming.
Don't do it.
But
don't do it.
Ty Lue deserves so much credit. Ty Lue, a man who has won four game sevens, who the only team who has ever beaten him in a series are the KD Steph Warriors. Ty Lue, who was overlooked for job after job after he left Cleveland. What he has done, rendering the defensive player of the year totally useless. What he has done going small, what he has done empowering his team. It's a brilliant coaching job, Brandon. Now, right. It doesn't matter if Paul George doesn't step up with one of the finest games of his maligned playoff career, but Ty Lue has been masterful this entire postseason, and it continued last night.
Right. 100%, and that speaks a lot to why this team
having the success they're having. Look, I can't sit up here and say that I expected Paul George to play this way. I do expect superstars or stars to step up in these type of moments. Let's go back to last year. One of the things I was saying during football season was, when we evaluate players, we can't just look at the trends. We can't just look at the stats and the history. We also got to look at mindset. We don't do that a lot on television. We don't look at a guy. We don't look in his eyes. We don't look at his body language enough to say, okay, what is he going to do moving forward? So when we were in the bubble last year, Paul George said some interesting things, some powerful things. He said, I think I'm dealing with a little bit of depression, and I'm talking to my therapist. As an athlete, when you lose your confidence, or if you're not right in between the ears, you're done. You're done. So if we go back 2 years ago, we're looking at, you know, NBA atmosphere, community, everybody saying, oh, the Clippers are the best team. The Clippers are the best team. The Clippers are going to win. And then all of a sudden, you have this guy right here underperforms. So this year, one of the reasons why I picked the Clippers is because of what Paul George said. I was like, oh, okay, Paul George is a monster. We know that. You go back to the beginning of his career, the dude is nice on both ends of the court. Kawhi, we know what we're going to get out of Kawhi. We love Doc Rivers. I know you're going to crush him in 20 minutes, but back then we loved Doc Rivers, yeah. All right? So now you fast forward to this year, I love taking an underdog. And he had a good year this year. He wasn't phenomenal, but he had a really good year. And so when your superstar goes down and you have a star still on the roster, then this is the moment. We saw KD do it. We saw other guys do it game after game after game. Oh, it's on me. It's time for me to step up. So I absolutely love what I saw at Paul George last night. I would have actually shot the ball more. To see him come out the way he did said a lot about his confidence. He didn't force it. He let the game come to him early. Yeah. He got all the shots he wanted. So hats off to Paul George. Phenomenal, phenomenal way to turn playoff P into playoff P. But we need to see it a couple more times, yeah. Paul. We need to see it a couple more times.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think we will. I actually think, Nick, that Paul George is a Batman in Robin's clothing. Like in Indiana, he was Batman. It was all on him. Then he made the decision, you know what? I don't want to go kind of like the Dame Lillard route. I'm in a small market. I can't probably do it on my own. Let me team up with Russ. That's Russ's team. Let me go to L.A. That's Kawhi's team. Well, right now, it's his team. And I think he's more comfortable in this setting where there are no other options. You have to do it all yourself, and I think he's going to thrive in there. But I want to talk about the other superstar in the court. And I'm a little bit nervous here, a little bit nervous, because when there was that huge barrage at the beginning of this game and Donovan Mitchell wasn't a real part of it, like, Donovan, being savvy, letting other guys eat, knows the flow of the game. I was like, I don't know if that's it. The guy doesn't look 100% right. Then he shot this three and it went in, and the broadcast didn't talk about it. They're like, oh, look, he just made the shot. I'm like, that's not a celebration. That's not a one-legged, look at this, a cool dance. That is my ankle hurts a lot. And he's been playing through it since game two, the whole series, since the Memphis series, and he was out 16 games of the regular season, but it's getting worse and worse and worse.
Call.
I don't know if Conley's coming back with a hamstring, Nick, so I could actually see the Clippers winning four straight and sending the Jazz home.
Listen, the Donovan clearly wasn't right. He was, I think, 6 of 19 last night, but he had four threes. So that means he made two shots inside the three-point line. And I know that the Jazz were worried about his ankle. It's why they held him out of game one of the playoffs, even though he wanted to go. And he is just on the long list of stars who we either have to, or either are out, he's luckily not out, but are limited by an injury in this injury-plagued year. But, Wilds, it's so interesting that you said the other superstar. And I thought, oh, well, he must be talking about the only other All-NBA player, because Paul George is All-NBA, who was actually playing last night. Because that's not Donovan Mitchell. That is MVP candidate, runaway defensive player of the year, All-NBA Rudy Gobert. And you've got old Nick Wright saying, I think Rudy Gobert, as great as he is defensively, can be eliminated on both sides of the court. We know he's not a great offensive player, and the right scheme against him can eliminate him defensively. And John Hollinger says, Nick, you're an idiot. My metric says it's the greatest defensive season anyone's ever had. He actually is not only the best player on his team, he's one of the three best players in the league this year. And I said, oh, Mr. Hollinger, I hope you watched last night. Because I did. I stayed up late to watch Rudy Gobert turn into a 7'3" French statue. Because what is he going to do when there are no bigs out there? Oh, you're going to get cooked. That's in the first half. Oh, you want me to guard on the perimeter. Oh, but now I have to get back to the rim. That's not going to work. Okay, what about here? I have to fight through the screens. Okay, how about I just let you take a practice shot? What about here? I'm in no man's land. Okay, that's not going to work. So, Ty Lue, by playing small... And by the way, and we're not even including the Terrence Mann and one late, the thing with the Clippers where I'll give them credit, they go small without small people. It's a bunch of 6'8 guys, but it's their small lineup, so they can still defend with it, obviously. And it puts Rudy Gobert in a position he is not comfortable. Right. And that means more than 4 feet away from the rim. And so for a defensive player of the year who's fully healthy, who's at home, whose team hadn't lost 3 straight games all year, you would have liked to see a better performance if he is in fact supposed to be the Jazz superstar. But of course he isn't, and everyone knows that. You're just not supposed to say that because defensive plus minus says he's the greatest defender ever. But didn't look like it last night to me. That is just my eyes, but I don't know. I wasn't watching it through analytical lenses. Just looked like he was getting cooked.
Wow.
So who knows?
The heel turn on you against the analytics community is just wonderful. Hey, Clippers on the verge of becoming the first team in NBA history to overcome consecutive 0-2 playoff deficits. Meanwhile, New Orleans, well, looks like Zion's going to have his third coach in 3 years. That's not great. More First Things First after the break.
Not great.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
LeBron yesterday weighed in on the injuries in the playoffs. Man. Had a series of tweets. I'm going to read them all to you. They all didn't want to listen to me about the start of the season. I knew exactly what would happen. I only wanted to protect the well-being of the players, which ultimately is the product and benefit of our game. These injuries aren't just part of the game. It's the lack of pure rim rest before starting back up. 8, possibly 9 All-Stars have missed playoff games, most in league history. This is the best time of the year for our league and fans, but missing a ton of our favorite players, it's insane. If there's one person that knows about the body and how it works all year round, it's me. Okay. I speak for the health of all our players, and I hate to see this many injuries this time of the year. Sorry, fans. Wish you guys were seeing all your favorite guys right now.
Okay.
So, Brandon, LeBron's comments on the slew of playoff injuries is what?
Feels like a bit of positioning for me here. I mean, there's so much to this conversation. We literally can take an entire hour to break it down. We could talk about last year, the pandemic and how every company, every business was trying to figure out how to move forward, right? The TV deal, that's big. You got to pay the players back. You got to pay yourselves. They had to get those games in. And there's so much more you can talk about. But I say positioning because this load, the NBA players been carrying for years, it seems to be a little bit too much. And LeBron James has always been one of those guys leading major discussions. It seems like he's trying to get back to the table to talk about how do we look at the schedule again. I know before the pandemic, they made some changes. They moved up the schedule 2 weeks or so, so there's not as many back-to-backs. But at the end of the day, it's still too much. We're talking about 82 games and traveling all over the country. I know we love our basketball, but do we love our basketball that much, Nick?
Well, and what we really love is playoff basketball with the best players at their best playing against each other. And unfortunately, we're not going to get that this year. Listen, this is spot on by LeBron. And I understand the counter argument that so many people are making is, oh, players agreed to it. Chris Paul, NBA Player Association, they agreed to it. It is not a true negotiation when there is a gun to your head The players agreed to it, understanding that if they didn't, the NBA could use the force majeure clause in the collective bargaining agreement and blow everything up, and that it would cost the players billions of dollars. So yes, they agreed to it, but they had no other alternative. It was, you don't agree, I don't want to, it wasn't a hostage situation, but it wasn't a true negotiation either. So LeBron and other players did try to put the warning out there. Now, do I think LeBron's injury was caused by this? No, LeBron's injury was caused by a bad player playing out of control. But Anthony Davis's injuries might have been caused by this. The fact that he came into the season unhealthy, never got the full rest, never got fully right. And so there's, like, to me, Mike Conley's an example of an injury. James Harden's injuries. All of those things are real possibilities as to injuries that maybe wouldn't have happened. Not LeBron, not Kyrie. Those are different types of injuries. But guys on those guys' teams, LeBron's teammate, Kyrie's teammate, certainly.
Yeah, so look, there's a lot of anecdotal evidence. It does not prove a causality. And if anything, LeBron's tweet storm sort of brings up more questions than answers. And look, it's a worthy discussion as we move forward, saying like, hey, should we continue to sort of eliminate back-to-backs? Should we make the season a little bit longer? Should we try to institute more rest? Should we make All-Star Weekend even longer? Look, there's plenty of questions here to try to examine, but the league takes this seriously. Mike Bass came out and was like, hey, by the way, the injury rate overall was on par with previous years. And just because some of your favorite players are being injured doesn't mean like their health is any more or less important than the role player who didn't get injured. So it's interesting.
I don't know
where the league takes
it. Are they playing as many minutes?
I'm just talking about personal. I'm talking about personal health.
I get that, Wilds. No, that's fair. But never mind. Go ahead.
Moving on. Pat, you know what? We'll do it for the podcast after the show. Let's talk coaching vacancies. 5 jobs available. Celtics, Magic, Pelicans, Trailblazers, and now the Wizards. All looking for a new bench boss. Brandon, best NBA head coaching vacancy is what?
I don't like any of them. The Magic, the Wizards, get out of here, beat it. Even the Blazers. The Blazers reached their peak, but if you're forcing me to pick one Wilds, I'm going to go with the Pelicans. This is the only team that has a generational player. We're talking about Zion and what he's able to do. They move him to what position is that, Nick? Point forward? I love the NBA is making up these positions now, right? So I got to go with the Pelicans, but there is an argument for the Celtics because you got Tatum and you got Brown, and now you got Danny Ainge out of there. So let's see what happens out there in Beantown.
Well, let me tell you what I wanted to answer, but the producers, as they often do on the show, censored me, said, Nick, this is a morning show. You can't be that mean. The best head coaching vacancy is the Bucks. It's just not open for another 96 hours, but it's the Bucks. But the actual answer of the ones that are open is the Pelicans. Oh, Brandon.
Also, you're picking
the Nets? What if I told you? What if I told you that, well, more on that later. There was a number one overall pick who's a generational talent who went through coach after coach after coach until they got it right. And now they could be championship contenders. You'd say, Nick, you're talking about the Cleveland Browns. And I would say, I am. But I'm also talking about the New Orleans Pelicans. So the New Orleans Pelicans, you get it right, like the Browns did with Stefanski, and all of a sudden, whoever gets this job, you could have the job for a decade. You could have the job for a decade,
too early,
Wilds,
bro.
If you get it right. But if you get it right, Wilds, you could have this job for a long time if you and Zion gel and they do some of the things better than Stan Van was doing.
Yeah, I wonder how much sort of institutional funk there is in New Orleans. Like, I still think when J.J. Redick left and basically said, like, I got lied to, I felt like that was sort of a canary in the coal mine of having some real problems there. The Celtics job I don't love just because Brad Stevens, who used to be the coach, is now your boss.
So I just feel like it's hard to have total sort of control over your decisions when the former coach is kind of like literally a few rows back from you. I don't like the Trailblazers job because I think I don't know if there's enough roster moves you can make. Believe it or not, I like the Magic job. If I was a first-time head coach, like, all right, what do I need to do? Get the 8 seed? I'm telling you, it's a nice job for someone to come in, get the 8 seed, actually start building something.
You'll be there for a year and a half.
The bar of success is so low. I love it. It's a great job, and it's sunny.
You'll be there for a year and a half.
Can I tell you something, Disney? Let me tell you something, Wilds. I adore you as a friend and a coworker, and I would hate to lose you, but I think you could get the Magic job. I don't think there's a lot of people applying for it. I'll write you a reference.
Call your boy
like,
Adam
I think
Silver.
If you think it's the best job, I think you calling it the best job puts you at the top of the list.
Right. Yeah.
I think the DeVos family Buddy, is like, hey, he wants the gig.
You could be best of operations.
I think you could going into the team punch. Meeting
Not
talking
interested.
About the moon. The moon and
I'm gonna hold out for
all this other stuff.
Hey, time for Weird Wonderful.
Wait,
Pirates
happening?
National Games. Look at this. A guy is wearing a Dodgers hat at a Pirates National Game? What are you doing? That's going to start us off in the weird. Moving on to the wonderful. Red Sox Braves, top 7. Christian Arroyo hits a grand slam. And look, he must have been watching a little bit of basketball because look what he does around second base. Hit him with it. Oh, hit him with the Euro. Hit him with the Euro on the grand slam. So look, the Hawks win, but they took Atlanta takes an L via the Euro. Great play. And finally to the weird. Orioles, Cleveland, bottom of the third. Jose Ramirez, RBI single to right. Throw gets cut off. We've got ourselves a pickle. This usually ends in disaster. For you, uh-oh, Orioles blew it. I didn't know that pass. Hey, look up. Nobody at third either. I'm out of here.
Wait.
And that's it. Oh,
go.
And at first slide.
He got to third.
That's the weird and wonderful from the National Pass.
Oh,
what
my
happened?
Goodness.
Let's move on to Philadelphia. All-out collapse like last night in Philly.
Philly
Who's
played
the blame?
Great.
Who knows?
What? Three quarters. Three quarters.
Okay.
Three quarters.
More first things first after the break.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we're back in Philadelphia. Hawks Sixers game 5. Sixers look like they have this one in the bag. They led by 26. People are on Twitter making fun of the Hawks.
Uh-oh.
Trae Young and the Hawks rallied. Used a late 15-0 run to come back and steal game 5. Take a 3-2 lead in the series. Trae finished with 39. Shockingly, Embiid and Seth Curry, the only Sixers to make field goals in the second half. Not good. Philly's abysmal fourth quarter cost them the game. Now it might cost them the series. Nick, who's to blame for this disaster?
Oh, long list of people. Listen. When Embiid went 0 for 12 in the second half of the game 4 disaster, when they blew an 18-point lead, I said I thought Ben Simmons' second half was even worse because he only took one shot. Well, last night in the fourth quarter, Ben Simmons took 0 shots. He has taken 0 fourth quarter shots in the last 2 games. That ain't great. Tobias Harris, who gets paid like a superstar, scored 4 points. That ain't great. Embiid slowed down again at the end of the game. He had a brutal fourth quarter. That ain't great. But, and I hate to do this, I have seen this game before. There is one common denominator, and that is Doc Rivers. This exact game happened 6 years ago. Game 6, Clippers, Rockets, in Los Angeles, fourth quarter, 40-15 Rockets with James Harden on the bench for it. Josh Smith and Corey Brewer lit your house on fire. Last night in Philadelphia, game 5, 40-17 Hawks. After you blow an unblowable 18-point lead the previous night, you up the ante, you're up 25 with 14 minutes left in this game. 25 with 14 minutes left, and you lose. And at some point, you got to be like, all right, so Doc Rivers, we're at 4 Game 7 losses. I think 3 of them are at home. You're at 3 Game 7 home losses, 3-1 series leads blown, another 4-3-2 series leads blown. The debacle, the Clippers-Thunder game, where you're up 10 with minutes left in the critical game of that series. So many instances of you having not only big leads in a series or a game, but the better team, the unquestioned better team, and you can't land the plane. Brandon, this team has been my pick all year to come out of the East. And as I understand Embiid's hurt, but he's at least playing. So that should benefit them. But my concern, and I have said it, it hadn't been enough to take me off the pick, is they have been so bad closing quarters and finishing opponents off. They're bad at the end of quarters,
right,
and they so often let 18-point leads turn into 8-point leads. Now, they typically win those games. But this series should be over. They should have won it 4-1. Instead, they're down 3-2 because they have blown back-to-back impossible leads. So a lot of this has to fall on the coach.
100%. But I also feel like, I mean, where are your leaders? I mean, some of that bad body language that I talked about back in the bubble, you know, last year with Embiid, it popped up last night. He's been phenomenal all year. Not only, you know, taking his game to a whole nother level, Shaquille O'Neal, little Olajuwon, KD, but off the court, his leadership. You saw him a couple of games ago with Green. Get up there, guard him. And now all of a sudden you revert back to this when your team absolutely needs you? Come on. So how much of this should actually go on the players, Nick? Look, I'm actually in a good mood right now. Let me show a little love. Trae Young, sensational. We're in Noonan, Georgia right now. That's why you see my set a little differently. I got my producer, my camera guy, Mike, here with me set up. So look, we're here in Noonan, Georgia, and we land, we get here, and then my son's like, Dad, this is, like, Atlanta's not too far, like, right? Right around the corner. I'm like, yeah, so he's like, Trae Young lives here. Like, he is a household name. This dude is an absolute sniper.
That's great.
Like, come on. Look what he has done. And when you got a young buck like this, a guy who has nothing to lose, he's a little bit, like, cocky. I feel, yeah, he's confident, but he's borderline cocky. He is dangerous. And that's why you see him, you know, a series after series doing what he's doing and doing it in the fashion that he's doing it in. But if you're going to force me to blame somebody, then I got to go with Tobias Harris. You know, we know what Ben Simmons is on the offensive end. But for you to be one of the first players since the merger to average 19 points, but then get to the playoffs and have multiple games where you have fewer than 5 points, that is a problem. Come on, buddy. We know you have game. We know you can score the basketball. Sure. But where are you at right now? So if I had to blame someone wild, I got to go with Tobias Harris. These are back-to-back games where you haven't done anything. Help out Embiid. This is a dude you know is struggling. Deep into games, he can't carry you. Throughout the year, he wasn't playing these type of minutes. He wasn't playing back-to-backs. So now you're asking him to do this, and that's why you're seeing him wither away in the fourth quarter.
I think that's fair. And I'm going to tell a little story here. It's a fictitious story. But I'm going to tell an imaginative story, and it'll make sense about who I'm blaming for this. Nick, if you and I ever got into a physical confrontation, it's a scenario will ever happen, but one that I am prepared for.
Beware.
And I'm winning by a lot early on. I'm winning by a lot. And all of a sudden, you just grab a fistful of hair and start yanking me around. I'd say, you know what? That is a lame move, but that is an effective move, and that is a demoralizing move, and you just wouldn't let go. That's the hack a Ben strategy. It is certainly a lame strategy no one likes, but it is super effective. The guy's shooting 33%. He missed 10 threes. And the fact that Nate McMillan started doing this down 20 at the end of the first half, that sent a message to his own team that's like, you know what? We are not out of this. We are still going to utilize this strategy.
Wow.
And I think it's so demoralizing for Ben, and I think it's demoralizing,
demoralizing
for the whole team itself.
Fam right here.
I think that it's brutal for a number of reasons. It's demoralizing to the team, where I feel like Ben feels like there's a lot of pressure.
It also screws up the flow of the game. It doesn't burn any clock. You get the ball back fast. And when Ben has to go off the game, that's when your buddy Tobias started turning the ball over. So I think, Nick, that as much as it's on Doc Rivers, Doc Rivers is not out there anymore. He doesn't play basketball anymore. It's Ben Simmons who's missing 10 free throws. It's Ben Simmons whose game has not improved offensively since LSU. And I know we all That's like right. Ben, and we root for him, but there's a certain point where it's to be like, buddy, it's the playoffs. They're free shots. You're shooting worse than Shaq. Let's not blame but Doc Rivers.
Well, it's the worst free throw shooting.
Last thing. I'm sorry, I'm piling on. Go ahead. Yeah.
No. Give me your last thing. I'm excited. Flourish.
My final thing is this. It's one thing if, like, you know what? I did poorly. I should have attacked more. But he said that last game. So then it came down and you had a rerun. And then, you already used up your excuse. Yeah. If it happens once, that's fine. But you're not following your own advice. It is wildly frustrating, especially because I root for Ben.
And so I think all of these things can be true, right? It can be true that Doc Rivers has a history, unlike any other coach, of these types of, are you kidding me, losses. It can also be true that Ben Simmons, right now this postseason, it's the second worst free throw shooting postseason for any player in NBA history. The only thing worse is Andre Drummond, who at the time when he had his brutal four-game postseason a few years ago, was at that moment the worst free throw shooter in NBA history. Ben Simmons, it has become more than an Achilles heel because it is affecting everything he does. He doesn't want to touch the ball. He doesn't want to drive to the basket, and he won't shoot jump shots.
Man.
He's your point guard. So, like, that's a big, big problem. And so it doesn't take away how good he is defensively. And you're right, Wilds, that the lack of improvement is what kills you with him. And I always thought, because Brandon, even well before you and Wilds were on the show, we used to argue about Ben Simmons a lot, and I would defend him. I'd be like, listen, he's a 90-10 guy.
Yeah.
90% of the stuff he does is really good. 10% of the stuff he does is terrible, and we focus 90% of our attention on the 10%. But it's becoming like a 60-40 guy. 6'10".
He's 6'10". He's 6'10"?
And he refuses to develop that part of his game.
Next point.
Kevin O'Connor, all right, that he's little guys, right. He's a guard, but he's in a forward body.
But he still shouldn't be this bad of a free throw shooter, Brandon. Yeah, not this bad. That's terrible. When you're a guard, you got to be able to, you got to knock down your free throws. You got to be 70% or better. But my thing was, I'm like, if you're over 6'9", then you get an excuse. He's a big boy. These big boys struggle at times at the free throw line. You don't get an excuse.
But he can't be this bad.
No, you don't. I'm sorry.
He can't be this bad.
Shoot him underhanded or start shooting with your right hand.
At 55%, the hack a bin strategy is useless. But at 32%, it's super effective. And so you said shooting with the other hand. It's so bad, Wilds, that there are smart basketball people who do believe he is shooting with the wrong hand. Like smart people that think he should be shooting him right handed. It's crazy.
You got Philly Freeway right there telling
too,
him how
you
to
can
shoot.
Turn a possession around fast. Hey, time for Nick to hand out NBA medals. Embiid 37-13 last night. But you know, after a historic collapse, you don't belong on the medal stand, sorry. No medals for any of the Philadelphia guys. Nick, who did it better?
Well, Wilds, that's your first fact error of the day, because bronze goes to a Philadelphia guy, Seth Curry. But you give him a pass. He's supposed to be your fourth best guy. He was actually outstanding last night. Seth Curry's like, hey, there's got to be a Curry brother that lights it up in this postseason. I'll do it for the family. Not enough, though. He was great. Embiid was good early. The rest of Philly, you got to walk home. Silver medal. Trae Young, 39 points, 7 assists, and
just a thrilling win. I'm glad Brandon gave Trey some love because I was totally focused on the collapse part of it. But in order for the collapse to actually happen, somebody had to do things for Atlanta. That was Trey all night, and it really has been all postseason. And then the gold medal, Paul George.
Yeah, let's go.
37, 16, and 5. In the finest playoff game he's had as a Clipper, bar none, in one of the biggest spots, maybe the biggest spot he's had other than Game 7 last year against the Nuggets.
He only hit the
Paul George
like twice.
Gets the gold medal. He was great last night, Wilds.
Great job. Just missing the cut, one of our favorite videos of the year. I love this music. The Joker, but that's not who missed the cut. I'm going to give it to the horse. Horse just minding his own business in Serbia, has had a wonderful 6 months. It's like, wow, feeling good. Got normal-sized people. Start charioting them around. All of a sudden, daddy's
thing?
Home,
make him
7
a bigger
feet,
one?
284. Brutal, so shout out to this horse. Great job. Problem is, vacation's over, buddy.
Step your game up. Something
coming up
bigger.
After the break. Talking Brandon's Nets, does KD have another historic performance in him
to
send
Nets,
the
baby.
Bucks packing? Guess who's here? Chris Broussard coming up next. More First Things First after the break. Hey, we're back here with the illustrious Chris Broussard. Same lineup situation for Game 6 for Brooklyn that we saw in Game 5. No Kyrie, but James Harden will be available. Might take another perfect game from KD to close the Bucks out tonight. Here was Steve Nash yesterday. On KD's Game 5.
I was just really proud of him. You know, I know what he puts on the line every night and his work ethic and his routine and, you know, just the commitment he gave to that rehab of a career-threatening injury and to be back, all the way back, and having maybe his best playoff performance ever It's incredible. And so I was just really proud of him, happy for him, and grateful.
Broussard, do you think the Nets need another epic game from KD tonight?
Yeah, Wiles. I mean, KD's mindset should be, I want to earn another hug like that from Steve Nash. That's what he's got to be telling himself going into this game. But no, yeah, he has to deliver. He has to deliver. And that's the thing about epic performances when they're not in series clinching games. Okay, if it's not a game 7 or a game 6 that ends the series or whatever, then you have to follow up. When LeBron played what many believe was his best game ever, 45, 15, and 5 in Boston in 2012 to even the series at 3 games apiece, guess what? He had to go back to Miami and deliver in game 7, or it was all for naught. And he did with 31, 12, and 10. So KD does have to go crazy again. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be 49, 17, and 10, but it's going to have to be probably well over 30, probably in the 35-ish range, if not more, because you know a few things. You know that Milwaukee is going to play much better at home. You can talk about, they got to be demoralized after not capitalizing with a James Harden playing at 15% and no Kyrie Irving and so on and so forth. But no, they weren't demoralized after trailing by 49 in game 2. So they went home and looked like a different team. You can count on that. You also know you can't pencil in Jeff Green for 27 and Blake Griffin for 17. Right. Now, if they give it to you, praise the Lord. But you certainly can't count on that before the game. Then you don't know what you're going to get from James Harden. I think it's safe to say he'll be better than 1-for-10 and 5 points. But he may very well struggle again and not be able to put many points on the board. So, yes, Kevin Durant has to go crazy again. The saving grace is there's a game 7 in Brooklyn if he doesn't. But they want to close this thing out early.
I agree with you when it comes to the, you know, Kevin Durant. He has to go crazy. Where I disagree with you, you're talking about 35-ish. I think it has to be some of the same. It has to be 40, 45 That's points. Fair. He has to That's dominate. Because of everything you said, James Harden, hopefully he'll be better. You know, I don't think he's going to be able to dribble, penetrate, and do damage there, but his shot should be able to fall. He still could stay out there on the perimeter and create some separation and knock down these shots. He didn't knock down these shots last game. He only had 5 points. Everybody knows that. I'm going to try to be positive here because this is my team. Joe Harris. Joe Harris missed 19 of his last 23 attempts from three. Joe, come on, Joe. Last game. I was tweeting, and it was like the first 5 minutes, it was like, Joe, Joe, you come on, baby. You got to do better. We need you. If Joe Harris can go back to what he did with the Celtics, you know, he dropped 25 points, went 7-for-8, then we have a chance. And then you got, you know, Uncle Green, Jeff Green, you just talked about him. Nick, you brought him up a couple days ago where you're like, the last time we saw the performance like this was when he was with LeBron in Cleveland when Kevin Love went down. Well, let's go, Jeff. Let's do it again. Let's go back to back. If you do that, then you have a chance. And you also have a chance in the next series, too. And you may not have to count on, you know, Kyrie being 100% and James Harden being 100%. So we need to see KD step up big time again.
Yeah, I don't think the Nets can beat the Bucks without Durant having a monster game. To Brandon and Broussard's point, he only, though, has to do it one of the next two. It doesn't have to be tonight. It can be in Game 7. I want to, though, focus on a guy who is yet to have a monster game. Because something very interesting has happened in these playoffs. Every single one of our healthy superstars that made the playoffs has had a moment. Dame had his 55-point game. Pick the Luka game you want. KD that we were just talking about. Kawhi's game 6 against Luka. Paul George last night. The Joker had a few in the first round and then the 30, 20, and 10 even in a loss last round. Chris Paul, the closeout game for the Suns. Embiid, coming back from the loss to the Hawks, a brilliant game 2 against the Hawks. Even our soon-to-be superstars have had them. Devin Booker's had it. Donovan's had a couple. Trey Young's had multiple. Hell, Jason Tatum had a 50-piece in the one Celtics victory. Every single healthy star or superstar has had one game at least where they said, I got this. Except for Giannis. And Giannis hasn't had one of those in his whole career in the playoffs. What is Giannis's signature playoff moment? You can think about it. You're not going to come up with one. Maybe, like, he had a great game 3 against the Kyrie Celtics when that Celtics team was falling apart in 2019. He had a couple monster performances in round 1 against Detroit or Orlando. He hasn't had it. And Wilds, this is the world Giannis now lives. Game 5 was the biggest game of his career. Well, guess what? Tonight, biggest game of his career. And if they win, Game 7, biggest game of his career. I'd like to see him crush it. I root for Giannis. I like Giannis. I know what the limitations are. I also know that we look at him as, at worst, one of the 10 best players. I know you don't, Brandon. At worst, one of the 10 best players in basketball. At best, he's putting the crown on as the best player in basketball. Let's call him the 7th best player in basketball. Well, guys, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 have all had games this postseason where it's like, holy crap, you won that game for your team. Giannis, you're at home. Your season's on the brink. You just blew a 17-point lead. You literally fumbled the game away at the end. I need you to have a big night. I need you to have a great night and get it back to 7 and see what happens in Brooklyn. That's what I'm looking for this evening.
So that's a great. And I'll one-up you. After the game, he said he wanted the challenge of guarding KD. So I don't think, Broussard, that he needs to guard him the whole game. But I do think if you came out right out of the gate and you were on KD and you started disrupting his rhythm and make other people kind of get some buckets. Now, granted, that could backfire if Joe Ingles all of a sudden gets hot or if Harden gets hot. But I think it would be such a sort of mental hurdle to get over where it's like, I've got you. It's my game. This is my house. I'm the two-time MVP. I'm the former defensive player of the year. I can take this challenge on. So I want to ask you about Harden specifically, though. James Harden played a ton of minutes. Do you think he's going to be exhausted and inefficient? Or even though he wasn't nearly himself, he's missing shots, he was still getting shots. It wasn't like he couldn't get a shot. He was just missing them. Those are going to go down. It's not like you can – we've seen performances of guys that are hurt that can just be spot-up shooters and hit. So do you think – I'm going to say – I'll pull it out of thin air. Over, under, I'll say 18 points for James Harden tonight.
Wow. I think – I'm going to say under slightly. But if he gives you 16 and 11 assists – and a great floor game that's like good. He did in game one for the most, or, you know, the previous game for the most part, then I'll take that. The problem is, are his legs there? I mean, that's the thing. Mm. Those jumpers, you could see them, they were short. And that speaks to, you know, the legs are obviously a part of the jump shot. So he could handle, he could shake and get room, but he clearly didn't want to drive. And he settled for the three-point shot, but he was a little short on it. I do think he'll play better, Wilds. I think he's capable of going for more than 20, and he might surprise all of us. But I'd say something like 16 and 10 would be a great night for James Harden. And I agree with both you guys on Giannis. But, Nick, this is why people think – a lot of people around the league are beginning to think he's a second guy. Because even as you just said, he hadn't had this signature moment. Guess what? Four of the five games in this series, he's gone for more than 30 points and 11 rebounds in every game, I believe, at least. So he is, you can pencil him in. He's going to have 30-something tonight. Okay, he's going to have 11 to 15 rebounds, if not more. But you are also right. It's not a monster performance. That's just what he does. And the problem is you can't shoot and you're not a great post player. I need you to be one or the other. In today's game, we'd love you to be able to shoot the jumper, but if you can't, then you better be able to punish people on the block, especially ones with a sore hamstring and half a foot shorter than you. So that's the problem with Giannis, why he hasn't had this signature performance.
Well, with the Giannis thing, let's figure that out after this series when, you know, in the offseason. So let's let Giannis figure that out after, later. I want to go back to the bet and what you threw out there, Wiles. Let's spice it up a little bit. Let's put something on the line. I got James Harden going for more than 18, so I'll take the over. Listen, here's the deal as a player. When you come back from injury before you should, right, and you go out there and play the way James played, that is a fill-out game for yourself and your body. You don't know what you're capable of doing. So he was out there on the defensive side. Oh, can I cut off this guy? Can I get around this pick? What can I do on the offensive side? Can I dribble penetrate? Can I do my little step-back three? Now he knows exactly who he is with his body feeling the way it does today. Relentless, a book written by Tim Grover years ago, all-time great trainer, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, and so many other guys, NBA and NFL guys. One of the things he talks about in his book was Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade had this brutal knee injury, and they were in the playoffs. He flew down there, and what they worked on that was Dwayne Wade's game, but it was how can Dwayne Wade still play at a high level dealing with something? And D-Wade was able to go out there and drop 30 and get his team to the finals. Nobody knew what was going on between with D-Wade besides the team and D-Wade and Tim Grover. So now you got James Harden in the same situation. And I know I'm talking big talk with the books and all this other stuff, but stay with me here. All I'm saying is James Harden knows who he is with his body feeling the way it does. Yep. I expect him to come out and have a monster game. Monster game may not be 30 points, but it could be 5 from 6 from three.
Well, sure. But the thing, though, and I'll leave it on this, that Nash, I hope for Nets fans, understands is while you could have treated game 5 like a must win, game 6 is not. And with Durant having played 48 and Durant playing 40 plus minutes every game except for the game 2 blowout, Harden fresh off the injury playing 46, I do think Nash needs to be cautious with the minutes tonight because you want to have all your bullets in the chamber for a game seven.
Don't listen,
man. And I'm telling Brandon that we
this is playoff basketball, Nick.
I know it's playoff basketball.
Going 40-plus minutes isn't it's what you do in the playoffs a lot of times. I mean, if you want to win a championship, it takes this stuff. Going
48 like Durant did had not been done since LeBron in 2018 in Game 7 against the Celtics. Been 3 years of playoff basketball.
KD,
no that's one 3 years.
Get your pre-workout, KD.
Okay,
get your pre-workout, KD.
He's got to be careful.
KD was fine after the game.
KD looked amazing.
KD was fine after the game.
No, looked perfect.
Reggie Miller said this check is in the mail, Nick. Hey, stick around, Broussard. Did Paul George prove last night he can carry the Clips without Kawhi? Talking Clippers next. First things first.
Reggie said sit up.
Tonight on FS1, the biggest soccer tournament of the year continues with group stage play. Brazil battles Chile. The action-packed tournament keeps rolling tonight at 8 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. It's time for stories to start your morning. Sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. Same lineup situation in Game 6 for Brooklyn that we saw in Game 5. No Kyrie Irving, but James Harden will be available. Might take another perfect game from KD to close the Bucks out tonight. Here was Steve Nash yesterday on KD's Game 5.
I was just really proud of him. You know, I know what he puts on the line every night and his work ethic and his routine and, you know, just the commitment he gave to that rehab of a career-threatening injury and to be back, all the way back, and having maybe his best playoff performance ever is, it's incredible. And so I was just really proud of him, happy for him, and grateful.
Brandon, do your Nets need another epic game from KD to beat the Bucks?
Yes, we do. Absolutely. Hey, in a minute, we're going to be asking Stoudemire to come off the bench and maybe even Steve Nash to be a player's coach. He can suit it up. He can suit up and come help us out. KD goes down. James Harden goes down. He's back in there, but he only gave us 5 points. And then also Kyrie, obviously, dealing with the hamstring. But here's the deal. You know, KD is more than capable of dropping 40 again. But you need Joe Harris to step up. 19 missed threes out of his last 23 attempts. That's a problem. The last game, I had a tweeting storm. Joe. Come on, Joe. Like, man, brother, you are one of the best shooters in the world. This is easy for you. This is the moment you want. And Uncle Jeff Green, Nick, you talked about it a couple days ago. It's like, man, we haven't seen a game like this since Kevin Love went down when they were in Cleveland with LeBron James. So can he do it again? Can he be 7 from 8 from the three-point line again? And then you got James Harden. I do think James Harden is going to have a great game now. How would he impact the stat sheet? I'm not sure. But I do know he created space for his shots, and they just didn't fall. So James Harden now is probably going to be a little bit more comfortable in his body and dealing with that hamstring. That was a fill-out game for him. What do I do on the defensive end? On the offense, can I dribble penetrate? Can I do my step-back three? So I think he's going to be out of his head a little bit more, and he's going to definitely impact the game in a major way. So, you know, KD at the end of the day is the only thing that's consistent, the only one that's healthy. So you need him to have a huge game, but you also need the others to step up and do their part. And if they do that, then I don't think the Bucks have a chance.
Well, you need one of the others, and at least one of the others to have a great game. And the Jeff Green thing, it's wild. The last two times an NBA player has played all 48 minutes, two of the greatest players ever, it's LeBron in Game 7, 2018 against the Celtics, and it's KD a couple nights ago. And in both of those games, that star's best teammate that night was Jeff Green. It's I don't know how the hell it happened, but right. It's exactly what happened. You don't need, so here's the thing. You don't need KD to be great tonight. You need KD to be great either tonight or Saturday night. And whenever he is great, you need one other guy to step up, either Joe Harris, as you mentioned, Jeff Green. We'll see what level of health Harden is. And then the Nets can win. But Wilds, I want to look at this from the other side, because speaking of LeBron, let's go back in history a moment. There was a hinge moment in LeBron's career where if one game goes differently, the whole story is different. And it's not the Mavs series. It's the year after the Mavs series when they're playing Boston, and after being up 2-0, yep, they lose three straight games. They're down 3-2. Paul Pierce is talking trash. Kevin Garnett's talking trash. LeBron at that point in time was a two-time MVP who had never won a championship, who some people said, yeah, I know what he did, you know, in 07 against Detroit, but in the playoffs, doesn't have it. And LeBron in that game six said no more and played what is still to this day the finest and the most important game of his career. That is a little too much to ask of Giannis, but that's the neighborhood we need him in this evening. No more. I am in my athletic prime. I am a two-time MVP. I do not yet have a single signature playoff moment. Every other star has a signature playoff moment this year. Every healthy star that made the playoffs, Dame, Luka, KD, Kawhi, Paul George, Jokic, Chris Paul, Embiid, they all have a game this year where they put their team on their back. Hell, the guys who aren't even yet total stars, Donovan, Booker, Trey, Tatum scored 50 to beat the Nets. And so that's what we got to see from Giannis tonight. And if you're a basketball fan, by the way, I know Brandon feels different because he's rooting for the Nets. But if we're being honest, if you're a neutral party in this, if Giannis is awesome tonight, if Giannis is awesome tonight and they win, he elevates himself to a level that Game 7 feels even more important. Awesome. If Giannis play well enough tonight that we're like, oh, he is trying to get in the same room as Durant, and in Game 5 it didn't look like they belonged in the same zip code, then Game 7 in Durant's building with Durant's team wounded feels a little more special. So that's what I'm... Can Giannis do it? Because we've never seen it. We haven't seen it yet in his career, Wilds.
So you talk about different rooms. If he doesn't do it, Nick, he's going to go in a different room. It's the room where, like, hey, great player, can't get it done in the playoffs. And that room doesn't have anyone else in it because everyone is leaving that room. Chris Paul struggled in the playoffs, playing great. He left the room. Paul George, he was in the room for a while. Nope, he's playing great. He left the room. How about James Harden? After a gutty performance last game, granted, he's had some bad games, but he has a chance to leave the room. So, knock, knock, knock. Who's there? Hey, can I just be the mayor of this room? Giannis, the guy who can't get it done in the playoffs. Yeah, Julius Randle, you can come in too. But this is almost, I'm not going to say it's a legacy game, but all we do is speak highly of Giannis, and we're always waiting. Two-time MVP, defensive player here. He's going to get over the hump. But if you can't beat this team in your own building after they played 45-plus minutes, then it's a time to start looking at your legacy, Brandon, and stop blaming the coaching staff. Stop blaming the roster. Stop blaming Coach Bud. It's got to be on you.
Listen, I've gotten almost every prediction wrong these playoffs. Brandon's got about 90% right, including Paul George game last night. At the end of the show, he said he thought it could happen. I think the Bucks win tonight and sets up an epic Game 7. Okay. I know you've got the Nets winning the championship and winning the series. Who do you have tonight? Because I think the Bucks win tonight and sets up an epic Game 7. Who do you got tonight?
Joe Harris goes crazy. KD plays well, and the Nets win it.
Okay. There it is. It could all be coming up next, Wilds. We'll see.
Let's go.
Watch tonight. Undisputed up next. See you tomorrow.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to The Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.